amidst all the national lockdown panic, there seems to be a great deal of confusion around the new COVID-19 temporary employee-employer relief scheme, the C-19 TERS, and who can apply for the benefit. The UIF and the Department of Employment and Labour have launched the C-19 TERS to provide emergency relief to enable employers to pay employees who are temporarily laid off due to the COVID-19 crisis. Here to provide some more clarity around this is Jose Jorge, Director of Employment Practice at CDH Cliff Deco Hofmeyer. Jose, good evening and thank you so much for your time.
Hi, Benita, and good evening to your listeners. The show is actually very well timed because they've just introduced amendments to the directive this afternoon.
Okay.
So things are kind of in flux, but we've got a bit more clarity now.
Okay, fantastic. Great. So which companies then qualify for a C-19 TERS benefits?
So any company can qualify. What the company will have to show is that they're a contributor with UIF and that there's been a closure or partial closure of the business linked to COVID-19. And thirdly, they also have to comply with the application procedures for the benefit.
Okay. And just to clarify, Jose, this particular scheme is to allow employees to pay employees who've had to be temporarily laid off as a result of the pandemic.
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. So how can these companies then apply for the benefits?
The process is quite simple. What you first have to do is the company needs to report the closure or partial closure of the business. What happens then is I'll give you an email address. It's COVID-19, that's 19, TERS at labor.gov.za. Once the department has your report, what they do is it's an automated system. It'll then send you a message and tell you what documents you need to prepare, etc., to submit. And that's basically a letter of authority for the person who's actually going to submit the application, just to say that they're entitled to do that, obviously. They'll give you a prescribed template, which requires information about the employer and the employees. You have to submit proof of the employee's salary for the last 3 months, and then a bank statement or confirmation of your bank account. And then also, What you'll have to submit as well is the department or the UIF has a special memorandum of agreement, which the employer would then have to enter into with UIF before the benefit is granted.
You spoke earlier of recent amendments that came to light today to provide more clarity. Can you share more light on that?
Sure. So the initial directive was quite restrictive in a sense. So I'll just go through the main changes to the directive. So there was a definition of a temporary layoff in the old directive, which referred to the temporary closure of a business operation. So there are a number of businesses which may perform essential services and non-essential services. So if you were one of those, you wouldn't have been able to apply because it required the temporary closure of the entire operation. So that's now been amended, and the temporary layoff now is a reduction in work following a temporary closure of the business operations, whether total or partial due to COVID-19. So that's a step in the right direction. Very importantly, in the old directive, the company had to show that it was suffering financial distress. That term wasn't defined, and there was no guidance for employers. What does that mean? Did they have to be close to insolvency, etc.? That's now been taken out, and the new requirement is simply that the employer has to show, as a result of COVID-19, that it's closed its operations or a part of its operations for 3 months or less, and that the affected employees will then qualify for the COVID-19 benefit. So the other good thing that is clarified, in the initial directive, it said that the benefits would be capped at 17,712 rand a month. It then referred to a sliding scale in terms of the Unemployment Insurance Act. That's now been clarified. You don't receive a maximum of 17,712. that's actually the threshold, and that's the maximum salary that they'll take into account when they determine what the contribution is that they'll pay to you. And it's on a sliding scale. If you're at the higher end of earnings, and which is capped at 17,000, the sliding scale is that you'll get 38% of that. So the maximum you can actually get in terms of TERF as an employee is 6,730. And the minimum that you're 3,500.
Okay, so between 3,000 and say 7,000, is this per employee dependent on their existing salary scale, so to speak?
Yeah.
All right. So how then do qualifying companies, what should they do to go about paying out these benefits to their employees?
The memorandum of agreement's got certain requirements in it. So the UIF will pay the money into the employer's bank account. The employer will then pay those monies into the accounts of the employees. There's an exception to that. If you employ fewer than 10 employees, you'll actually provide each employee's bank account details and UIF will pay them directly. But that's only for small employers. In the current MOA, which is going to be amended to accommodate the new changes, there was a provision for a separate bank account just for the UIF payments. I think that's going to be relaxed, and you'll probably need to keep a separate accounting system for the UIF payments so that UIF can satisfy themselves that that money is being used for what it's intended to be used for. And you can use that money for no other purpose. It basically is from UIF to the employer straight to the employees.
And there's no limit in terms of how many employees you feel that you need to compensate as an employer. You just need to provide proof of the distress of the business.
Yes.
Okay. Jose, what legal recourse is in place for companies who fail to pay out these benefits in a timely manner?
I'm not sure what the recourse would be if you don't pay it timeously, but certainly if you fail to pay it, there'd probably be criminal sanctions. So in terms of the UIA, if you don't comply with that act, then you're liable to imprisonment or a fine or both. And I think if you don't pay your employees in terms of this, you're probably in for quite a lengthy sentence.
Can companies already apply? Has everything been put in place? For example, you mentioned earlier around that email address, covid19ters@labor.gov.za. Have companies been applied for this already?
Yes, they can. Many of our clients have actually held back because they were aware that there'd be some changes in the offing. But I am aware of companies that have applied. I can't tell you how that application process has gone, though.
Okay. Where can we find out more information, or where can employees find out more information around this?
The Department of Labor's website's quite good. Otherwise, speak to your attorney or labor law practitioner who should be able to give you advice on this.
Jose Jorge, Director of Employments at CDH, Cliff Dekker-Hofmeyer, appreciate your clarity around this very important issue as well. Jose, thank you so much for your time.
Great. Thanks a lot.